Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
So as a part of this covenant service, we're going to be leading into, I'm going to ask you first to look in your bulletin. Pull up this insert that says covenant prayer on it, because we're going to be leading up to this. And so for the message, in just a second I'm going to read from John 15, but for the message, I'm just going to go through part of Wesley's covenant service and just kind of share some of the words that he had. And one of the things I want you to think about as we're moving towards this covenant prayer, and as you're thinking about, I don't know, the new year and that sort of stuff, we're going to hear from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and it's Jesus teaching about pruning. And there are parts of our lives that probably need to be pruned. And that's what I want you to keep in mind, is what does it mean for you to focus or to refocus or to commit or to recommit yourself to God? And so, and to keep that in mind, then we're going to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and I'll read verses 1 through 8. This is Jesus teaching. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch that withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Would you bow your heads with me, please? The gracious and loving God, Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as I said, we're thinking about this stuff, what's being pruned and whatnot, and as we're leading towards this covenant prayer that we're going to share, and I'm going to share some words from John Wesley's covenant service. And one of the things that I know about, so John Wesley, he's one of the main founders of the Methodist movement, if you don't know who he is, and he was a holiness guy, and holiness has kind of the word has kind of a bad rap for us, because when we hear holiness, we think of people that are like, I don't know, think they're better than us, that are jerks, I guess. So that's kind of the way that we hear that, but that's really not what it's supposed to be. In fact, holiness, the more holy you are, the more that you are in a deeper and deeper relationship with God, the more humble you would be, because you'd kind of realize your situation. And holiness is really about living a life that's set apart for God, a life that's different, that's other than just kind of the way the kingdom of the world works. And so it's lives that are fully dedicated to God. And Wesley was, I guess, kind of ruthless in calling people to live that way. He didn't mince words, and he was pretty powerful in calling people to do that. And so one of the things I am pretty certain about that is if John Wesley were here today talking to us Methodists, he would just kick our butts. I think that's how that would go. And so we're going to kind of go through these words, and they present a challenge, but I think a good challenge for us to really focus on, you know, this covenant that we have with God. And I want to challenge you to either make that covenant or renew that covenant today. And so Wesley begins. I went through the service and just took out some of the first parts of the words to get us in a mindset to be able to do this covenant prayer. And Wesley begins by saying that there are three principles that we need to have on our hearts. And the three principles are this. The first one is that things that are eternal are more enduring than things that are temporal. Things that are eternal are more enduring than things that are temporal. And it's easy for us to focus on the temporal things, the things around us, the things that are passing away, but it's important for us to remember things that are eternal are more enduring. Things that are not seen are as certain as things that are seen. And so that it's important for us it's easy for us to focus on the things that we see, the things that are around us, the things that are, I guess, tangible that we have right in front of us. But, you know, there is a God. And so we may not see God, but there is a God, and that is real. And so it's easy for us to focus on the, I guess, the simpler things that are right in front of us, but things that are not seen are as certain as things that are seen. And that upon your present choice depends your eternal destiny. Choices that you make in this life matter. If you choose to faithfully follow Jesus Christ, that matters. That these have eternal consequences. Again, it's easy for us to focus on the here and now and what the consequence of the next 5 minutes are. But upon your present choice, he writes, depends your eternal destiny. And the thing I noticed with these principles, as we're supposed to set these principles on our heart, is immediately it sets us, it immediately challenges us to think about our priorities, think about how we prioritize things, because we are certainly tempted by things that are immediate, that are right in front of us, the quick gratification, the things that are passing away, the things that we can see and kind of tangibly interact with. We're tempted to focus all of ourselves on that or to be distracted by that and to forget that things that are eternal are more enduring, that things that are not seen are as certain as things that are seen, and that our choices now have eternal consequences. It's easy to forget those kind of far-reaching stuff and to focus on the stuff right in front of us, but the stuff that is, in fact, passing away. And not only that, but the things that we see daily tend to be on our minds, the things that are around us. And so we notice our neighbor's nice newer car or nice newer house or whatever the case may be, and as we see these things around us, and I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but in our particular culture, they have these things called advertisements where they continue to put, has anyone seen these yet? And so they continue to put things in front of your eyes. Why do they do that? The more you see it, the more you think about it. The more you think about it, the more you want it. And so the whole goal is to make you focus on the things you can see that are right here, as opposed to the things that are eternal and things that are not seen. So we've got these challenges in our own lives of how to focus on the right sorts of things. So we begin with these principles by asking about where are your priorities? What are your priorities? Because these principles ask us to take a view of faith. These principles ask us to take the longer view of things. We're asked to remember that the material things are temporary. In fact, we're asked to remember that this life is temporary. Wesley says that the choice that you make has an eternal consequence. Your present choice, upon your present choice, depends your eternal destiny. The things that you choose now has eternal consequences. That car will eventually break down or you'll want a new one. That stuff passes away, but there's eternal consequences. And so we're supposed to remember that things are temporary. In fact, we're supposed to remember that life itself is temporary. I know people are saying it's a good thing we all made it out of 2016 alive, right? Because apparently 2016 was the worst year ever, right? Because all the celebrities died. Almost every one of them died, and it was terrible. And it was shocking to us because, after all, we didn't realize that people die. I don't know if you knew this, but people die, right? In fact, Happy New Year, but you're all going to die. We are all going to die. Yeah, yay, yeah. And I think that we do get into this place where our mortality shocks us, and we're in the state of denial almost, but people die. And people die tragically, and people die too soon. People die suddenly. We die. Our lives are temporary. Our lives are temporary. I mean, if you're fortunate, you get into your 90s. But most of us won't make it that far. Our lives are temporary. They're passing away. And the choices that you're making in this limited time that you have are choices that have eternal consequences. Eternal consequences. And it's hard because we live in the kingdom of the world. Everything's telling us to ignore that and to focus on the here and now and how I can gratify myself in the here and now, and to ignore the fact that I'm not going to be here forever. The people I love aren't going to be here forever. Death comes for all of us. And so with this priority thing, we're asked to trust in God. We're asked to trust in the eternal. We're asked to trust in the things that are unseen, to trust where we cannot see. And we're asked to remember that our choice of faith determines our eternal destiny. If you choose to make a new car or a garden tractor or a greenhouse or whatever it is be your idol, you may get the immediate reward of what you see, but that tractor or car or whatever is temporary, and eternity is forever. So many times we're tempted to put our faith, saving faith, in things that are passing away. So the three principles start us by challenging us to think about our priorities. And then moves into a choice. Wesley writes, "And then, my friends, make your choice. Turn either to the right hand or to the left. Christ with his yoke, his cross, and his crown, or the devil with his wealth, his pleasure, and his curse." I like how Wesley just cuts to the chase. Like, you got a choice. You got to turn. And I sometimes you'll turn on the radio or the TV and you'll hear prosperity preachers who'll say some things. They'll say, like, no, you believe in God and this world's going to go great, which is, oddly enough, the opposite of what Jesus said, right? The world will what? Hate you because of me, Jesus said. Like, Jesus was very clear about that. He wasn't like, I don't know, false advertising kind of stuff. And so Wesley follows that by saying, look, if you follow Christ, you follow Christ with his yoke, his cross, and his crown. Or you can follow the devil with his wealth, his pleasure, and his curse. But you got to choose. But you got to choose. And so we've got this choice. And the powerful thing here is, in this covenant service, we are being called to pause and to take a moment and then be intentional about how we're going to go forward. I think it's very easy for life to just keep coming at you, and we just kind of roll through it. But on this January 1st, on this new year, we're taking a moment and pausing and saying, okay, let's make the next step I take intentional. What am I doing with my life, and in whom am I placing my trust? What will you choose? And are you willing to lay down everything to follow Christ? It's fascinating, isn't it, that Wesley connects, I think, scripturally, the devil with the wealth, pleasure, and the curse. The wealth and the pleasure. I mean, if you think about the devil's temptations of Jesus in the desert, it was these sorts of things, the things that are passing away. What are you going to choose? Will you lay down everything to follow Christ? Then Wesley continues by saying, do not delay the matter. If you are unresolved, then you are resolved. If you remain undetermined for Christ, then you are determined for the devil. So again, he doesn't mince any words. He's like, look, you can't say I'm going to put this off. To not to choose is to choose. Like, there's a fork in the road. You're at it. And you can't put it off. There's no neutral position. You can't sit the fence. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're in the kingdom of the world. One of the things that struck me in studying Scripture, and especially as I've gone through the book of Revelation, when I've done studies on that, is there's just not this neutral position. You're either for Christ or you're not. And to not make a choice is actually making a choice. Like, you've got to choose Christ or choose the ways of the world and the devil. And to not make a choice is to make a choice. You've got to choose Christ. And here we are this morning, and you're being asked to make a choice. So we've got the principle, set up your priorities, to ask you about your priorities. You're being asked to make a choice. And then the next step of that is, along with this choice for Christ, comes confession and repentance. To confess your sins and to repent and to turn away from your sins, to turn away from that brokenness that you have. And Wesley writes, being aware, made aware of his sin and his danger, a sinner will look for help and deliverance, but he will look everywhere else before he looks unto Christ. And I shared that quote with you because it was painful, right? I mean, but does anyone else have experience with that? Like, my life is in trouble, and I'm going to try everything by my own means to fix it before I give it up to Christ. Nobody else? Okay, well, let me just testify. This pastor is, like, more messed up than the rest of us. This is why we had to give so much money to things, just to help him out. Just to, like, yeah, I, you know, this hurts because we do this, don't we? We want to find any other way that we can solve stuff, any other way we can come up with our salvation other than giving up control to Jesus. But that's the temptation, right? The serpent whispered to Eve, you can be like God, knowing good and evil. You can choose for yourself. You can solve your own problems. You can look for your own things. And so we do. We look for other things to fill that hole in our hearts, to bring salvation to us. We think, well, maybe if I do this right, or maybe if I get these things, then I'll feel okay, then I'll be all right. And so a sinner looks everywhere. We'll look everywhere but Christ. Do you look to other things to soothe you, or to bring you hope, or happiness, or meaning? Whether it's material possessions, or your job, or power, positions of power, do you look everywhere before you look to Christ for your deliverance and salvation? Wesley then moves to this challenging question. He says, do you now utterly despair of your own goodness, or do you trust in anything but Christ? And so he's putting the choice before you. The fork in the road is this. Will you despair of your own goodness? In other words, do you despair of your own attempts to save yourself? Like, will you surrender and go with Christ? Or are you going to seek by any other means necessary to save myself but Jesus? I can't give up that control. I'm going to try other things. Do you surrender yourself or not? Do you surrender yourself or not? He says, you must let your sins go. You must let your righteousness go. Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he came to seek and save those that are lost. You've got to surrender. You've got to surrender. He then moves, so we've got the principles set up, asking us about our priorities. From our priorities, we're called to make a choice. A choice, are we going to follow Christ, or are we going to follow the ways of the world? And then from that choice, if you're making a choice to follow Christ, there's a call to confess and repent. And that confession and repentance means surrender. And then we're going to round this out with words of assurance. So we have these challenging things, but then we have these words of assurance. Like, there's a reason that we're called to follow Christ. Wesley gives three parts of this words of assurance. The first is, the first word of assurance is this, God's initiative, that God took the first move. God sent Christ into the world to save sinners. God acted first. How do we know that God loves us? We know God loves us by this, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's how we know it. God didn't say, hey, look, once you get your act together, then I will like you. God didn't say that. While we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. While we were still a mess, Jesus Christ came for us. God acted first. That's why you get these hard words and all this challenging stuff to make a choice. The whole reason behind that is because God loves you and sent Jesus Christ for you. And that if you hold on to these idols, if you buy into the ways of the world, it's a way that leads to death, that has an eternal consequence. And so the word of assurance is this, that God wants to save you from that. And we know that because Jesus Christ came and died for us while we were yet sinners. The second word of assurance is this, it's God's command. God commanded that we should believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. God provided a way of salvation in Jesus Christ. So God's command that we should believe in Christ. And then the third word of assurance is God's promise. That God's promise that whoever believes in Christ shall not be disappointed. That if you believe in Christ for salvation, you will not be disappointed. You will be saved. That God proves his love for us. That while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. That if you believe in Christ, whoever believes in Christ will not be disappointed. You'll have eternal life. And really the converse is true. Any of you who put your trust in the things of this world, you will be disappointed. I know this. Okay. And so the word of assurance we have is whoever believes in Christ shall not be disappointed. We have this assurance from God. And because of this assurance from God, we are now called to completely yield ourselves to Christ. And so, in just a second, we're going to do this prayer. And I want you to take a moment to prepare your hearts for what we're about to do. Take a moment, and I want you to consider your priorities. And maybe even ask yourself, where are my priorities out of whack? In fact, as I even ask that question, what comes immediately to mind? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? I want you to prepare to make a choice. Maybe it's making a choice or a commitment for the first time. Maybe it's renewing a commitment that you have. I want you to prepare to make a choice. Will you surrender all, follow Christ? I want you to prepare to repent, because it does involve surrendering all. Will you lay down everything else? And will you repent of your sin? And I want you to be assured. To be assured by the fact that God acted first in sending Jesus Christ to die for you. God did not wait until you got your life in order before he did this. But instead, God so loved the world that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And so, if you believe in Christ, if you trust in Christ, you will not be disappointed.